Welcome to an incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, Associate Pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Well, listen, are you guys ready to jump into the word for today? All righty. As Pastor Ron mentioned before, we are continuing our series called Faith Supplements. We're looking at the seven spiritual ingredients that are listed out in 2 Peter chapter 1 on how to build a godly life. And I know that every person here, we all have a desire to continue to grow closer to the Lord. He tells us that there are seven ingredients that we can add to our faith to help make us fruitful and effective for God. And so we are looking at adding these things. And so we are comparing them to like vitamins. And just like vitamins, minerals, and herbs, supplements are important for our overall physical health. And similarly, our spiritual health is just as important. And so we are looking at adding spiritual supplements to our faith. We talked about in part one the responsibility that we have to maintain our relationship with God. We talked about how in verse 3, Peter tells us that God has given us everything that we need to build a godly life. He gives us both the desire to want to grow closer to God, and he gives us the ability to draw closer to God. You know, it's just amazing that everything, you know, even the desire that we have to get closer, that comes from God. It comes from him. And everything that he has given us to build a godly life is found in his word, in his very great and precious promises. In part two, we looked at the very first ingredient listed out, and it is virtue. And we talked about how virtue is the courage to do the right thing in every situation. When we talk about someone who is virtuous, a virtuous person, it's someone who does the right thing even when it matters most. And we talked about how the right thing is not determined by culture and society, but the right thing is determined by God, because only God establishes truth. And virtue at the end of the day are godly convictions that we live our life by, and we all need godly convictions. And the second spiritual ingredient we talked about was knowledge. Peter says to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue he says to add knowledge. And we talked about how knowledge is truth acquired from God's word. It's truth that we apply to our life. It's knowing what the right thing is according to God, because he determines truth. He determines what is right. And we talked about how we are in a spiritual battle every day, and that spiritual battle is all about truth. God is trying to get truth into the hands of every person. Amen. While the devil is doing everything he can to deceive people from the truth. Yes. We are in a battle, and it's understanding that when we have knowledge, when we understand what is right, then we can know that we are doing what is right. We have the desire to do what is right, but we have to know what that right thing is. And it's determined by God, and we find it in his word. And then he says that on top of knowledge, he says to add self-control. We talked about how self-control is the ability to do the right thing in the moment of temptation. You know, we can do the right thing, but there comes a time when we are tempted to do something that we know we shouldn't. Self-control is that ability to do the right thing when temptation comes. We talked about how self-control is a mastery over our own desires. It is dominion within, dominion on the inside. And the devil, he is working overtime to do everything he can to gain control over our life. There is a battle of self-control every day. He's wanting to gain control over your life. However, the Holy Spirit is wanting to produce self-control in our life. And when we walk by the Spirit, he produces self-control when really it is allowing the Holy Spirit to have control over our life. We must let the Holy Spirit guide us, think before we act, ask for his help, and then do the right thing when it matters. And then not last week, 2 weeks before, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fourth spiritual ingredient, which is perseverance. He says on top of self-control to add perseverance. And perseverance is remaining under discipline. To remain under is what we talked about. It means to remain under and to continue to be disciplined, to continue to have self-control through hardship. We persevere through hardship, we persevere with people, and we persevere through faith. God is with us through times of difficulty, and he calls us to be patient with people as God is patient with us, and also to encourage us to persevere in the faith, to not give up the good fight of faith. And that brings us to our topic for today. In verse 6 of 2 Timothy, he says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness or perseverance, and steadfastness with godliness. Today, we're talking about the spiritual ingredient of godliness. And as I mentioned before, we have a responsibility to maintain our relationship with God. But after that, we have an opportunity to add to our faith qualities that will make us more fruitful and effective for Christ. And one of them being godliness. Now, I love what Paul says about godliness here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He says, for bodily exercise profits a little. You know, building our body is important, and there is a benefit to it. But he says, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of this life and also for the life to come. That godliness, you know, building our bodies, it's important, but it's important for this life. However, godliness, he says, is profitable. It's beneficial. It's worth investing in because it benefits us here in this life, but also in the life to come. We have a great opportunity. Godliness provides us an opportunity, and it tells us that it is of great value because it yields us a great profit. And godliness is like an investment. While it is yielding a profit, while it's benefiting us now, it's also growing in value to produce a great gain for us when we get to heaven. It's what the Bible says, which is a pretty good deal. Godliness provides us a great opportunity, and it's obviously very important, but it's not only an opportunity. Godliness is also an expectation. God's desire is that we would grow in godliness. In fact, there's not a Christian that I've ever met that I expected to be worldly. Whenever we come across other believers, we don't expect for them to be worldly. We expect for them to be godly in some way. Godliness, there is an expectation as believers for us to be godly in some way and for us to grow in godliness. So, what is godliness? Before we define what godliness is, I'd like to talk about what godliness is not. And this is important, especially in today's generation. because there's a lot of things that are talked about as good, as true, and even what is godly. But the Bible defines for us what is godly. So let's look at what it's not. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says this. Paul is talking about specific people who are teaching something other than the gospel. And he says this, that these people have the appearance of godliness. They have the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. He says, avoid such people. He said that these people have an appearance of godliness. That word appearance in the Greek is the word morphosis, which is the word for form, shape. An appearance has a form of something. It has the shape of something, like a shadow. It means that it looks like the real thing, but it's not. They look like they were godly. They had the appearance of godliness. They had the form of it, but it was not the real thing because it lacked substance. Something that has the form of something, you know, a shadow appears of, it has the appearance of someone, but it lacks the substance of who that person is. You know, it reminds me of a time that I went to the gym to go play basketball, and there was this guy that walked in the gym. It's funny to me to this day. This guy walked into the gym, and he had a full suited uniform of a Space Jam, Michael Jordan, Looney Tunes squad uniform. I'm not kidding. He had Jordan socks, Michael Jordan shoes, and had a ball, came ready. I mean, you would have thought that a light was shining behind him. And he came in, he even had a bald head. He was bald. He had a mustache like Michael Jordan. Now listen, although he looked like Michael Jordan, he lacked the substance. He lacked the substance. Okay, he appeared, he had the appearance. He had the form. He had the uniform. He had it all on. But boy, he was way off. It did not help him. Okay? You know, and I believe that Paul, he was letting the Christians know there that, listen, these guys, they have an appearance, but they're lacking substance. They're lacking the power. Although that guy dressed like Michael Jordan, he couldn't play like Michael Jordan. He didn't have what Michael Jordan had. And similarly, we can look godly. Someone can look godly but lack the substance behind it. We can appear to be godly. Someone can appear to be godly on the outside but lack the power that it takes to change and transform a person's life. You know, we can act godly. We can appear to be godly. Someone can appear and look godly, but it does not mean that they have the power on the inside. You see, because I don't believe that godliness is shown here in church. Because we can appear to be godly, but godliness is truly shown at home. It's shown at work. It's shown when we're with our friends. It's shown with our neighbors. Godliness, true godliness, is not something that is acted out. Godliness is not something that we act. We don't act godly, but instead we become godly. It's the power of the Holy Spirit to transform someone to become like God in character. Godliness is God-likeness. We become like God. It's us appearing, growing, and becoming more like Him. And again, that is God's desire. Not that we look godly, not that we appear godly, but that we grow in godliness, that we become more like Him. And it's important for us to know that godliness is not religion. Godliness is not a gifting. We can be gifted, but it doesn't mean that we're godly. Someone can be gifted, but it doesn't mean that they have grown in godliness. Just because someone is kind and loving doesn't mean that they are growing in godliness, doesn't mean that they have allowed God to come on the inside and transform them. It's not just knowledge. It's not just ministry. It's not a leadership position. Godliness is more than just that. Godliness is conforming to the character of God in every area of our life. It's conforming to God. It's allowing God to transform us. And I believe that we can go through our whole life only allowing God to touch small parts of our life while allowing the rest of us, not allowing God to touch the inner parts of who we truly are. God's desire is that we be transformed and become like Him. That is, becoming like God in our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, even in our desires. Now, we all are continuing to grow in godliness. I believe, you know, who we were when we first came to Christ, you know, who I was when I first came to Jesus, I still remember the day that I got saved and how everything just seemed new. I don't even know how to describe it, but I just remember that. But still, I was way far off from where God wanted me to be. When I came to Christ, it was all about what I needed. It was all about what I wanted. God, this is what I need. God, this is what I want. And God was showing me His grace. He was showing me His mercy. He was showing me His love. And that's what it was all about. But as I grew, I began to want to know what God wanted for my life. I began to wanted to know what God's desires for me. I wanted to please Him. And as we grow in wanting to grow closer to Him. That is godliness. As He transforms us, we grow to become more like Him. But again, He doesn't want us just to act godly. He doesn't want us just to act like we are like God. Because that's just a form. It's just an appearance, but it lacks true power. And the power is for us. So that we can grow to be more like Him, that we can be a light to the people around us. You know, I remember being in high school and thinking, man, I wish I could be like that person. You know, because in high school, it's like you always were just trying so hard to fit in and not stick out. You know, that's what it was. But there were those people who just seemed like they didn't really care. And I was like, man, I wish I could be like those people. And I believe that when we grow in godliness, there are many people who are looking at you and thinking, man, I wish I could be like them. I want to be like that. You know, I still remember the people in my life that inspired me to grow in godliness. And as you grow closer to the Lord, you become that person. We should all be someone that people are looking up to saying, man, I want to be like them. I want to be godly like they are. But may it not be just an appearance of godliness. That when they get closer, they can see, wow, he really loves God. You know, I grew up in a home with a stepdad that would go to church. And man, everybody thought he was a great guy. But we all knew who he really was behind closed doors. That is not the person that you want to grow up to be, that we want to be. That's not who we desire to be. We desire to be true. We desire to grow in true godliness. Now, understanding that there are some things that come along with growing in godliness. If we want to be godly, there are some things that godliness assumes. I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this, but if we, someone who is godly, we assume these things to be true about them, okay? So I'm going to list three things. Number one, we assume that if someone's godly, we assume that they are in agreement with God, that they agree with God. Because the fact is, we cannot be godly and disagree with God. It's impossible. If I disagree with God, then I'm saying that God is wrong and I am right. And I'm saying that I basically make myself higher than God whenever I say that he is wrong and I'm right. Godliness means that we agree with God at the end of the day. That whatever I believe, whatever I say, whatever I do, if it goes against what God says, then I am wrong. If whatever my friends say, if what they say goes against what God says, they are wrong, not God. What politicians say, they're wrong. People who got money, just because they got money, whatever they say, whatever they believe, whatever they do, if it goes against God, they are not right. They are wrong. God is right. As Paul says, Romans 3, may God be true and every man a liar. He is right. We are in agreement with God. We agree with him. We agree with his word. His word is the ultimate authority in our life. And to be godly, we have to believe and agree with the truth that at the end of the day, his word has the final say in our life. That no matter what I believe, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, if it doesn't agree with God, I am wrong and I have to change. I have to change my ways to line myself up with him. It's a submission to God and his authority. He is Lord. I am not. Godliness presumes agreement with God. It also presumes someone who is godly presumes that they are aware of God at all times, having an awareness of God. That everything I do, I know that God is watching. And I want to please him. There is an awareness of God. When we grow in godliness, we grow in an awareness for him that we want to please him no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, no matter how old I get, how young I am, doesn't matter. I want to please him. It's an awareness of God that wherever he is, that wherever I am, he is. There is a fear and a respect for God. That we conduct ourselves in a way that we know that I want to honor him. I want to respect him. I'm aware of his presence at all times. He is with me. And that produces holiness in our life. And thirdly, someone who is godly, we assume that they have an adherence toward God, that they are obedient to God. That whenever God speaks to us, whenever God speaks to them, we assume that they do what God says, that they do what God's word says. When we are growing in godliness, we grow in our obedience to God. That as he speaks, we listen and we do, we follow. We say, yes, sir. We say, yes, sir, God, I want to be like you. I want to ensure. Jesus says that if you love me, you will follow my commandments. You will obey my commandments. And as we grow in godliness, obeying God becomes a joy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. It becomes a joy. You know, sometimes I'll be sitting there and I just think about who I was before Jesus and how I had no hope. And how I came to Christ and who I am today. He literally pulled us out of the darkness. Colossians 1 says it like this, that he delivered us from the power of darkness and he conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of light in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He transferred us out of darkness, out of hopelessness, and brought us into the kingdom of his son. He delivered us. It's a joy to serve Jesus. It's a joy to serve him. As we grow closer to the Lord, there's a desire to want to please him, to want to obey him. We don't want to disobey God. I want to please him. There's a devotion that we have to God. As we grow in godliness, we want to obey God. Again, godliness is not something that we do, it's something that we become. We do not act godly, but instead, we become godly through the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. So, how can we grow more godly? How can we grow in godliness? Well, I'm going to pull it from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Before one of the verses that we read earlier, it says this: have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. He says, train yourself. In the same way that we would train our bodies, similarly, we must train ourselves in godliness. So how do we grow in godliness? Number one is we have to avoid worldliness. He says to avoid, in 1 Timothy 2:16, he says, avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. Before we can grow in godliness, we have to make sure that we are avoiding the things that lead us away from God. We have to be careful. We have to avoid worldliness, because the opposite of godliness is worldliness. The opposite of godliness is worldliness. And worldliness is a world or a life without God. You know, the devil's doing everything he can to build a world that excludes God. As long as God is not included, you can do what you want. We have to be careful that we are not building a life apart from God in our own personal lives. When we are participating in worldliness, then we cannot grow in godliness. So we have to avoid the things that are drawing us away from God. So that's the first thing. Secondly, we must nourish ourselves in the Word. If we want to grow in godliness, we must nourish ourselves in the Word of God to find ways to feed the spirit man. To begin to feed ourselves in the Word of God. This is a true saying, that whatever you think about the most is what consumes you the most. Whatever we nourish ourselves in is what we will grow in. And growing in godliness, when we nourish ourselves in the Word, we continue to nourish ourselves in the Word of God. And that word nourish is exactly what it is that we are feeding ourselves, feeding the spirit man, the new man, putting on the new man through the Word of God. We nourish ourselves to give ourselves the opportunity to grow in godliness. We must spend time in the Word of God. Number three, we must allow the Holy Spirit to tear down the high places in our heart. In order to grow in godliness, we must allow the Holy Spirit to tear down those areas of our heart that exalt themselves against the Word of God. And some of these things may not be things that we are aware of, but they're things that are keeping the Holy Spirit from reaching into our heart, the deep places in our hearts. Whether it be fear, whether it be pride, whatever it may be, many times we know what those things are, but we have to allow the Holy Spirit in. Ask Him, God, how, Lord, how can I get rid of these things in my life? Allow the Holy Spirit in. And then fourthly, we must practice godliness. We got to practice it. Put it to practice. Whenever we go home, it's an opportunity to practice godliness. You know, every day I have to practice to not yell at my kids, because that's what I grew up with. And I have to practice it every day to make sure I do not yell at my kids. I'm not going to yell at them. I'm not going to tear them down. I'm not going to do that. I want to be a godly father. So I have to practice it every day. And I have to practice being kind. I have to practice loving people who get on my nerves. I don't know another way to say it. We all must practice being godly. And God, it's the qualities, loving people, showing grace, perseverance, being patient with others, practicing godliness in our life. We have to train ourselves in godliness. And as we do it, as we allow the Holy Spirit in and he continues to change us and we continue to practice these things, we continue to grow in godliness. And we grow a crop of godliness and prayerfully a legacy of godliness. You know, I see a legacy of a godliness, Pastor Ron and Ms. Brenda, in your family. You know, it's what we all want for our life. Is a legacy. My desire is that my kids, one day they will have to take a faith for themselves. My desire is that everything that I am leaving to them, that they will catch it. That they will catch it. And that they will choose Jesus for themselves. But not only for my children, but also to the people that are looking up to me, that are looking up to you. Let us grow in godliness, so that the people around us also may follow suit, that they too may grow in godliness themselves. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, God, that your desire is that we would grow in godliness, that we would grow closer to you, Father. God, I pray that today, God, as we add to our faith, Lord, I pray that we would add to our faith godliness. God, I pray that you would, God, it wouldn't, God, I pray that it wouldn't just be an appearance, but God, that it would be the real thing. God, we would allow the power of the Holy Spirit to move in our life, God, and to make us more like you. Continue to mold us, continue to shape us, and make us like you today, Father. We thank you and draw us closer to you in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen. Amen, amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this dynamic message from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.